Welcome to Bizart, the podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, or to send a story under 300 words, email bizartcast@gmail.com. I'm Madeleine Swan and I write weird and strange stories. This is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his brain at lofiguy.com.
Our advice jollies!
Our advice jollies!
Boo, 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 boo!
Good afternoon and Hello. Welcome to my humble abode.
Would you like a cup of non-poisoned tea? It's not poisoned, it's just a normal cup of tea.
It's a delicacy.
Yes, it just tastes like almonds because I put almond flavour washing up liquid in it.
Sort of nut-flavoured, you can get nut-flavoured coffee, can't you?
I don't know, probably.
Yeah.
Almond flavour is, what is it, arsenic or something like that?
Is it arsenic or the other one that I get confused?
What is the other one? I don't know. It mentions it in Roald Dahl's The Landlady.
Ah.
And that person goes to stay at the guest house and it just ends with the tea tasted like almonds.
Oh, yes, it's Stephen's Advice Jollies. I know what I'm giving advice about. I've forgotten. Yeah. Make a pop-up canvas. Make a pop art canvas in a few easy steps.
Ooh. Do tell.
Yes. So a simple instruction is what you do is you buy yourself a canvas. That's the easy bit.
And then put pop art on it.
Right, that's the end of...
moving on.
Advice jollies for this bit. Basically, you get yourself a canvas. Now, the easiest way to create pop art is a little bit of cheating, which is always good. What you do is you get your inkjet printer that you've got at home and... you get your picture on the screen in whatever program you like using and simply print it out. And then you can do a trace down with carbon paper. Carbon paper is available from any art supplier. Trace the outline of the image. Say you're doing a face of the Queen or something. You do a trace down through the carbon paper, lift it up, and then you've got the outline to fill in. Am I making sense?
I don't know. I zoned out. Sorry.
Obviously, it's that interesting. Then you've got your thing to fill in. And all you have to do is fill in the areas of colour individually. So you could have your skin tone. Or if you want to give Freddie Mercury a blue tan, you know, you could give him a blue face. It's a very simple thing. What I'll actually do, so explain this a lot easier, is I'll leave a little instruction on our website, and then you'll be able to kind of see what I'm talking about. It's quite an easy way of creating pop art at home. And I know that they actually charge quite a bit of money for this sort of thing. If you were to go into a shop, even to buy a print, pop art prints are often quite expensive. So you'll save yourself a few bob. Get yourself a cheap canvas from... Poundland or something and create some art. So yeah, that's my how-to this week.
Fortnite.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, if I was making a video, that would have been a very easy thing to show. So if you kind of get what I'm... If you're kind of interested in the idea, check out our website and...
Have a look.
Yes.
Creative curiosities.
Am I starting this one as well?
No.
Oh,
now
sorry.
It's my turn. God, wind your neck in. The other day, Bill got a book from the bookshop called Post Secret. And it's an art project book where it's got a website, postsecret.com. People send postcards with a secret on that they've never told anyone, and it's this book was just a collection of them, and it's really interesting. They can sometimes get a bit dark, as you can imagine, But some of them are quite funny, and people have decorated the postcards, you know, in their own way to make them look pretty. And I think my favourite ones are, when people upset me, I draw pictures of them going to hell, disasters, or Ohio. And the next one was, I checked into a hotel next to the train tracks of a busy Long Island commuter train line into New York City and exhibited myself nude at night in the window when trains passed. I loved it. And another one, I converted because I think I look sexy in a headscarf. So it's, you know, literally it can be anything. And I was going to send them a postcard with, when I put on a dressing gown, I feel like a silent movie star putting on a fur coat. And I said that to Bill, and then he said, well, you can't do it now. And I said, why not? And he said, because you've just told me. It's supposed to be something that you've never told anyone.
And now you've told everybody.
So, well, I told him anyway, so I couldn't do it. So, yeah, you know. What would be your secret? Would it be... Do you remember... I don't know why, but the thought of asking you what your secret would be reminded me of when you told me that story about you and your friend in the car, and your friend quite obviously wanted to visit a lady of the night. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
You tell
well,
it.
Yeah. Oh, no, it did worry me a bit.
Start from the beginning.
I don't know how old we were, 20 or something. Mm. We went out into town, and then he was driving, of course, because I was trying to get out of driving if I can. And he was sort of driving round in circles, and he was like, oh, well, I sort of know this woman, and she says she really loves sex, and she would do it for money. And I was like, right. And he kept driving around in circles. He's like, so do you want to go and see her? And I was like...
Well, he said, do you want to go and
see
her? Yeah,
and I was like, not really. And he kept driving around in circles, but it wasn't that interesting, really.
Well, it's kind of interesting.
It was just a bit odd.
It's never happened to me before. Although someone did mistake me for a lady of the night once.
Well, that's no...
What are you saying? But I was going to see some friends who lived in Salisbury. This is when I was living in Bath. And the particular place that they were renting had the previous owner, or the owner was in prison, and that was for using the house as a brothel.
Mm.
So obviously, like, everyone local kind of didn't know if it was still going, or... You know, they just assumed it was probably still a brothel, I think, because they'd give my friend funny looks whenever she went to the shops and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming out of there, and actually I was going to the shops, and this bloke... I used to have dreadlocks, and I had them up in, like, bunches sticking up in the air at the time. And this bloke said, oh, are they for blokes to grab hold of? And I said... Because I didn't know what he was talking about. And he went, your hair, is that for men to grab hold of? And I went, no. And then he just kind of laughed and walked off. And I thought, okay, that was really odd. And then I went back and told the others. And they said, well, I don't know, maybe it's got something to do with... And actually, the place did have red carpet and red light bulbs still.
Oh, they didn't change the carpets. That's a bit...
Well, you can't... Well, it's just renting something. You're not going to change the carpets, are you? I mean, the guy was apparently coming back, and I think he probably had designs on continuing his previous business.
I hope it was cheap rent then.
Yeah, I don't think it was too bad, actually, yeah.
I know, we'll stick some students in it for 12 months.
Yeah, exactly. They won't care.
Nah, they'll live in their own grime and gruel and...
Yeah, you kind of open the front door at the end of the college year and find them stuck to the walls and the floor anyway. Scrape them up with your spatula and send them on their way.
Pretty much describes my college experience.
Yes. Okay, your creative curiosity now.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know about you. You said about thingy. I'm sure I had a good one, but
oh, sorry. Visit postsecret.com. I think that was the main crux of what I was going to say. And you can send your own postcard. Okay, sorry.
I wasn't given any preparation time for that one. I'm sure there's plenty of weird.
There's
oddments in my head, but I can't actually.
Of course.
You know, when you put on the spot, you can't kind of drag them out at the.
You tell that story.
A very good website for finding this kind of thing is called
yourtoilet.com.
It's called oddity central.com. Now, one thing I found on here that kind of gripped me instantly was Dutch artist turns dead cat into a remote controlled helicopter.
Well, they say there are many uses for a dead cat, don't they?
They do. It was actually his cat got run over by a car. And yeah, I mean, it actually looks real. It's been stuffed. And it,
do you mean alive when you say real? Because it is a real dead cat.
Yeah, it looks alive. I mean, it's facially and everything. It looks, well, it's got a bit of a mean stare going on. But some cats do look a bit freaky, don't they? It's kind of a tabby cat, and he's kind of stretched it out so that it, you know, those kind of quadcopters that you can get. It's one of those where he stretched the arms and the legs out for the kind of the angular bits. And he's turned it into a perfectly usable kind of drone that he can use outside and chase mice with, I guess. I don't know what he would do with it.
Greet the neighbours, maybe.
It would give a seagull a bit of a fright, or a pigeon, wouldn't it? See that coming. Dutch artist Bert Jansen found it hard to part with his cat. His cat was named Orville, and he is actually called this the Orville Copter.
You know, there's a clip of it online, so you can see it actually in motion, isn't it?
Named after the famous aviator Orville Wright. You can see this in motion if you go to oddity central.com. You'll see this. It's actually being used, yeah. Only in Amsterdam, I guess.
Canals and hovering cats.
Yeah. After a period of mourning, he received his propellers posthumously. Yes. That just instantly grabbed my attention. I mean, why not? The thing is, people do have their pet stuff when they die. Well, yeah. Some people do, don't they? So
you may as well have them stuffed in an amusing manner.
Yeah, and it's like he lives on, isn't it? It's like he's...
It might have been on that programme, Oddities, or perhaps it was... Or perhaps it was on something else where they did taxidermy, and they said that they'd had calls from people asking to have their grandmother stuffed, or their, you know, a grandparent or a parent. And obviously they didn't do it, or they said they didn't do it. But can you imagine, you know, waking up in the morning, or watching telly at night and having your dearly departed sat in a chair staring at you, or frozen in a perpetual knitting motion?
I would have thought you could get a death mask kind of made and get an artist to recreate. You wouldn't necessarily need to stuff your grand.
That's true. You could do that, couldn't you?
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
I wouldn't have thought you would have to go to that extreme.
You could just get your friends to dress up like them and wear a mask, couldn't you?
Or you could date girls that just look like your nan.
That's what you want to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want a nana, nana? Yeah. Offering her a banana.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's exactly what my thing.
Can you imagine that, you know, on an online dating thing, would like to meet woman who looks like my nan or is just an old lady who I can dress appropriately. I have clothes in the wardrobe waiting.
Yeah.
And knitting gear not essential will provide.
I have actually on dating sites, or I don't know. It might have even been on Facebook. I did friend, or they friended me, I don't know. some ladies were quite nan-like. I think it's because I guess I put loads of art stuff on there, and one of them was into kind of making knitting things.
Wool stuff, yeah.
But she looked like she'd basically been brought up by her nan, has a job where she's just surrounded by old people all day, so she's probably become a
morphed
bit like...
into an old person before her time.
Yeah, so they are out there, certainly, yeah.
Well, that's good for you to know, isn't it?
Yeah, there's plenty more grannies in the sea.
Failing that, you could just move to Eastbourne.
Freaky film club.
We watched Freaks and Men by Aleksey Balabanov, which came out in 1999 and is about vintage pornography. And it's set in turn of the century Russia, and it's basically a couple of pornographers who take photographs, and they kind of invade houses of seemingly respectable people to use to take photographs and make films, and like very early films. Because it's turn of the century Russia, it made me think of Bulgakov's short stories, The Young Doctor's Notebook, which is a really good TV programme that you should watch. I think it's out on DVD now. One of my favourite stories from that, incidentally, is when a lady came in labour, and he pulled the skirts up and got ready to deliver the baby, and then he noticed that there was a load of sugar around her vagina.
Of course.
And he said to the relatives who brought her in, why is this there? And they said, oh, well, kids like sugar, it was overdue, so we were just trying
to lure it out.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's I felt like it, in the film there was some subtext that I wasn't quite clever enough to understand. I don't know if you got that feeling or if it was just...
Young Doctor's Notebook is kind of
I didn't mean that, I meant the
no,
film.
No, I know. Young Doctor's Notebook is kind of dark comedy, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Whereas this was very, very good, very, very much worth a watch, but I felt it was a hard watch at times because the subject matter was quite unsettling.
Yes, it is unsettling, and it's a lot more serious, obviously, but I kept looking
for meaning in it, like, I mean, the thing with exploitation where... You know, it's okay for upper middle class. Like, the girl was interested in seeing naughty photos, wasn't mm-hmm. she? Upper middle class. So she was kind of complicit, but then when she was being exploited later on, it's like the line between enjoying...
Exploiter and exploitee.
Yeah,
and
enjoying
and
one kind of exploitation and then... And then being pushed into another. I don't know. I mean, the thing
because
is...
The maids as well, I mean, are exploited by the upper class as well.
I don't think there was anything in this regarding the exploitation of the masses, that kind of thing. I don't actually think there was. I was kind of expecting that. I was kind of that kind of Russian exploitation leading to, revolution. But there wasn't that. So, yeah, it left me pondering, really.
I really liked it, though.
Mm.
I thought it was... I loved the look of it, and I thought it was an interesting story and left me with some interesting visual images.
Yeah, oh, certainly. I'm glad...
Yeah, it's uncomfortable at times.
I'm glad that I saw it. The boys were being exploited as well, weren't they?
Yeah, that was the most disturbing bit. Was the Siamese twins, who preferred now to be called conjoined twins.
I guess it kind of depends on where you draw the line with areas of exploitation, because, you know, if you look at modern forms of entertainment and television and a lot of the programmes that
A lot of the programmes are kind of fake science programmes, which are actually just freak shows, like Roll Up, Roll Up, See the Man with 17 Hands, or, you know, whatever it, whatever they choose to call it. Like,
there's one on Channel 4 every week, isn't
there?
Well,
that's the one I'm thinking of specifically. I mean, there are other ones, but there is, I think it's Body Shock or something like that, where now and then you get something interesting, but it is mainly a modern freak show, isn't it?
And quite often, the people, for whatever motivation, usually money, but for whatever, usually they are happy to go along with being exploited. But where do you draw the line, and where do you feel comfortable with in watching that yourself? If you enjoy a program like that, how complicit are you? I think that's maybe what we can take from this. Is kind, was kind of like an example of the same thing.
Why is it
really
okay to look at it but not be in the pictures?
Yeah,
you know. Or why is it worse because she's a nice upper class girl and the other women doing it were maids, you know? Why is it more traumatic to see her like being upset and in it, you know? We've got no story this time because the computer's all the way over there and that's just too far.
Yeah.
So now we're going to end on a song.
Two fine boys went to Germany. Two fine boys with their sausages. Two fine boys came home from Germany. They said it was great. Then they went and got into Kraftwerk. And they listened to lots of krautrock. And then they listened to electro. And they became massive stars like Aphex Twin.
Wow, that was brilliant. Okay, I don't think I can top that. So
no, but you were doing the kind of a company.
Yeah.
You know, you were doing the tapping. So
we were in it together.
Toe tapping.
Okay then. Right. Okay, that's it.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, the art, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizarrecast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.